This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. We've heard a lot about the dangers of lead exposure lately related to the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, and there's been much conversation about getting rid of lead pipes. But how do you get this substance out of people's systems, out of their bodies, if they've been exposed? Meet the Degenharts.
I'm Mary Ann. I'm Joseph's mom.
I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph's dad.
And I'm Joseph, the son.
In 2003, they bought an old house in New Jersey. It had been built in the 1920s, and they knew it had a lot of lead paint in it. So they stripped away the paint, and they were really careful not to leave any paint chips where Joseph could get them.
So our son Joseph was, he was born in...
Less than a year old, and I dropped a binky on a piece of lead, and I picked it up, and then I put it back into my mouth, which got me started into this lead poisoning thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that was probably, Joseph loved this binky, and dropping it and putting it back in was kind of a normal occurrence, but, you know, there was lead dust around that we really just were not aware of. So when it came time for Joseph's one-year wellness visit, we just went in for the blood work. I had a script for it, and we didn't think much more of it until probably a week later. I got a call from the doctor who was kind of on call on a Friday saying there was a really high lead reading with when Joseph's blood work came back, so he thought it was a mistake. So he wanted us to go ahead and get another reading. And we went back to the doctors, and the next day, I remember it was the Collingswood Book Festival. I remember we got the call while we were kind of on pins and needles waiting, sitting at the book festival, trying to act like life was normal right now. And we got the call, and the doctor said, you need to get to the hospital immediately because that first reading was accurate, and we need to get working on treating that lead. And Joseph was admitted to the hospital. And
was it 2 weeks that I had to stay in?
11 days.
So for almost 2 weeks, I had to stay into the hospital getting all needles and all stuff that I wouldn't like, that I wouldn't usually enjoy.
And you didn't enjoy it.
No, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, it actually was on he spent his one-year birthday in the hospital. And I remember, though, it was kind of funny because he was on IV, actually, but he was feeling okay, so, you know, he would be, like, running down the halls and playing, really, and kind of acting like any one-year-old might, actually, except that he had an IV pole trailing behind. But we made the best of it. And I remember one of those nights in the hospital, just going down to the, there's a chapel in the hospital, and just kind of like crying my eyes out, thinking, how could we have let this happen? You know, it was really devastating. Yeah, it was a really tough time.
You were a big hit in the hospital with your very... very brave and bold, walking around with, I mean, you were like, you own the hospital. Like, you would walk down the hall pulling this 6-foot pole on wheels, and people got a big kick out of you. People really liked you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could picture myself.
The treatment was like right into the thighs, big needles right into the thighs in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But then when it went to intravenous after a few days with this chelation medicine, mm-hmm. something that actually binds to the lead and then it gets removed to his urine.
And then once we got home, then he had to go for regular blood work. And
I think it was every month or so. Yeah. So I had to do that for about 4 years. I had to go every day a month for 4 years, which added up to 48 visits in total, which I absolutely hated. It sort of felt unfair to me since I had a brother who didn't have to go and a lot of people who didn't have to go. I felt like it was unfair to me.
But in all honesty, what would usually happen when you went in there and when you came out?
Yeah, I would say, I'm all better. It didn't hurt at all.
So he would tell the people that were waiting to get their needles, their shots, he would come out and say, oh, really wasn't too bad. He'd try to encourage everybody else, but he would go in shaking like a leaf, right?
Yeah. After that, so after, I think my last visit, I was scared that I would have to get another test, but that never happened. And I suddenly got happy. Yeah.
We did have a early intervention, I don't know what you call it, a caseworker, come out. And that's if a child is not developing at the, you know, the level where they're supposed to be. So they came out and did an evaluation and did find that Joseph was maybe like 3 months or so behind where they thought he should have been. They came out and basically played with him two or three times a week for an hour or so, and they had, you know, kind of a strategic treatment plan. And then we also had a speech therapist come out. And after, I'm going to say a year, Joseph was right up to par where he needed to be.
The Degenhardt family says the lead poisoning in Flint hit close to home for them.
I started thinking of all the people and feeling that they should have their nice place back, that they don't deserve to go through the same experience that me and many other people have gone through.
13-year-old Joseph Degenhardt, and we also heard from his mother, Marianne, and his dad, Joseph. The story was produced by Paige Flager.